welcome everyone to another broadcast of the Pamela Folan Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are available in podcast form. You can download them at artistfirst.com. She's the author of 9 books, a cat and dog expert, and the host of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pamela Folan.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me tonight. I'm excited to be here with you and talking to you about what else? Pets, my biggest passion, my biggest love. As I said, I'm Pamela Folan, and I do have several book series out currently about my pets and what a great influence they are on my life. So let me tell you a little bit about myself before we get going. For those of you who are maybe tuning in for the first time, I'm happy everyone's listening tonight. Again, I'm Pamela Folan, and I grew up in Plano, Texas. I grew up in a house full of pets, and my parents taught me a great love of animals and all about animal care. And I took this passion and I ran with it because we had a house full of pets, and I wanted to save every stray dog and cat I saw on a walk, every baby bird that I saw had fallen out of the nest. And it has continued into my adult life where I have my own house full of pets. So that's what my 2 children book series are based on, my real life animals, because they are my furry babies and I absolutely love them. My picture book series is based upon my real life dog, Sunny, and it's called Sunny the Wonder Dog. And there's 2 books currently out on Amazon.com for that series. And my dog, Sunny, is a Shih Tzu, and he was so smart that we called him a human in a furry body. I had to come up with a way of creatively explaining his intelligence and making it a fun story that children could relate to. So what I came up with is Sunny had to be an alien from outer space, disguised as a Shih Tzu, comes to Earth and has to figure out how to be a dog, has to learn how to eat from a food bowl on the floor and walk on a leash outside and not be able to say anything but wolf, which he finds very odd. But it's his relationship with the 7-year-old girl that he meets on Earth and how he adapts and develops into the family and slowly reveals how smart and his true identity to this young girl. So it was a really fun series to write and a fun series to continue working with, because unfortunately my dog Sunny had passed away from liver failure a couple of years ago. So it's a lot of fun, kind of a bittersweet project for me to continue working on, thinking about how incredible Sunny was. Because we did lots of things. I was a dog trainer at pet resorts and pet hotels back when I had Sunny with me. And he was my demo dog. And he did all of the demonstrations and was at all the pet events as getting people to be interested in the resort and come talk to me. And so one of my training managers said, get him to do a trick that no one else has seen and that will draw a crowd for the new pet event that we're doing in a few months. So I got online and started researching different pet tricks because Sunny got bored of doing the rollover and play dead and shake paws after one round. He just looked at me like, I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. And so I kid you not, I taught Sunny to read. And you can see videos of him reading using the 2 index cards where one would have the right answer and one would have the wrong answer, and he would paw touch the right answer. I was able to teach him words, numbers, colors, shapes, and even physics equations. And videos of him and I doing his reading trick are available at sunnythewonderdog.com. And my other book series is Megan's World, which is a middle grade book series that is about my experience of finding and bottle raising a litter of kittens. And I found this litter of four kittens over 7 years ago. And guess what? I still have all four of them. It was such an incredible experience. And after being up every 4 hours bottle feeding them, I couldn't part with any of them. So I still have all of them. And I've turned it into a great book series where 13-year-old Megan learns about pet care and responsibility by bottle raising the kittens, which is kind of the ultimate task, and then takes an interest in becoming a veterinarian herself and starts working with the vet and doing pet sitting as well to earn money to keep her kittens. So those are my two book series, and kind of tells you a little bit of the pets that I have in my house here as I'm doing this radio show tonight. And you can find out more about me and my books at my website, www.PamelaFoland.com. And we're going to continue talking about pets tonight because it was something I recently thought of as I keep hearing the news, like everyone is, about the coronavirus and how it's affecting all of the jobs and the people across the world, and especially the news here where I am in Dallas, Texas, of what it's doing to Texas. And I had a thought this month as I was thinking about what to do for this radio broadcast of, I wonder how it's affecting the animal shelters and the pet adoptions, because I know all the pet stores that I go to, they're not doing adoption events anymore. They don't have the kitties in the adoption windows like they used to. And so I started doing research and talked to a number of shelters in Texas and across the country and found out more information online. So I kind of wanted to share that with you because it was something that I hadn't really thought about until real recently, and I kind of find it fascinating. And so let me share with you what I found out. When all this first started, before everyone, all the states started shutting down and doing the shelter-in-place orders, people were already starting to lose their jobs, and the shelters and the different animal rescue groups hadn't closed their doors to adopters or to people coming into the facility. And initially, when COVID-19 started, there were lots of people turning their pets over to the shelters and the local humane societies because they lost their job. They didn't have money to take care of these pets. So right before this started, the shelters had a huge influx of animals that they had to care for. And then everything shut down. These shelters stopped being able to adopt out the pets. Their workers were only going in to care for the pets because they needed to keep everybody safe, the pets and the staff. And so it was very, very hard timing for all the shelters that I was talking to across the country, and especially here in Texas. They were, you know, kind of, you could hear it in their voices how upset they were when they were telling me about how they had a full shelter, and yet they couldn't adopt any of them out. They did say that lots of the volunteers were working from home, and so they were able to take in extra pets to foster care and not get them out of the caged environment of the shelter. But that had to be really hard, and my heart just breaks every time I think about pets in the shelter. If I had unlimited land and resources, I'd adopt everybody myself. That's how big of an animal lover I am. But the shelters in Texas, specifically that I talked to, were closed for approximately 2 months, where they weren't doing any of the low-cost vaccinations or the low-cost spay and neuters or adoptions. And they've only recently, since about the mid to end of May, have started opening back up to where they will process the applications A few of the shelters that are not in the larger cities within Dallas are actually doing by appointment adoption so that they can limit the number of people within the shelter. But the SPCA in downtown Dallas, which is one of the more heavily hit coronavirus areas in my area, is actually doing almost like a drive up curbside pickup for adoption. Worker there told me that they are now processing the applications, and a pet care specialist will call and talk to the people on the phone about the pet that they are interested in adopting. And then they let them come and pick up the pet, and they literally just bring the pet to their car, and they never, you know, interact. I mean, when I think of adopting a pet, I think of interacting with multiple pets and seeing, you know, which one you click with, especially cats, because I've always said cats choose you. They don't, you don't choose a cat. So I'll be curious in a few more months to do some research and see how this adopting and picking up all over the phone and kind of virtually is working out for the new pet parents, because I don't know how you could do that with without actually interacting with the pets. I know when I adopted my new dog, Teddy, almost 5 years ago, I saw lots and lots of different dogs in the shelters before I picked him. And there's still, I've talked to and been at, of course, with all my pets at PetSmart and Petco, there's still no adoption events, and they don't know when adoption events will start up again. There's no start date given in Texas, at least, for the low-cost vaccination and spay and neuter clinics to start up. So it was very interesting and kind of heartbreaking for me to learn how the coronavirus has affected the animal shelters and the animals that are in the shelter. Now, a few of the states that I talked to that have opened up and are allowing these adoptions, even if they are just virtual adoptions, and the people coming and picking the pets up at the curbside, they say there has been a huge increase in the number of animals that they're adopting out. They've had many more applications than they've ever had, and even people that are interested in fostering the animals. So it's fantastic news, and I truly hope that everybody that's adopting and fostering these animals are enjoying the pets and seeing what a great blessing they are in your life, because I sure love my guys, and I know how much fun it is to bring a new pet into the house. So we're going to take a short commercial break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about exactly that, how you can help acclimate a new dog or cat into your household. So stay with me, and thanks for listening to the Pamela Folan Show. I'll be right back.
A Reaper is the story of 5-year-old Christopher Aaron and his life-changing struggle with leukemia. Winner of both the Indy Bragg Medallion as well as the Reader's Favorite Silver Medal for Memoir, There Is a Reaper has more than 100 Amazon book reviews and a 5-star rating. It has been described as life-changing, spiritual, a must-read. Just released on Audible and iTunes, this memoir is also available in paperback and on Amazon Kindle for only 99 cents. Get your copy of this life-changing memoir today.
Brought to you by Mistech. Welcome to the future. Go to mistech.net for the full story, but in the meantime, stop thinking about leveling up and just get some Mistech. People all around the world share their experience and love how they feel after putting it on. We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, along with a lifetime warranty. WTF? What the frequency? Find out today at mistech.net.
Get ready, Jade. I've got a surprise adventure you're going to love.
Really?
We're going to swim with Sally the Tiger Cub. Even get a photo with her that you can share with all your friends.
I don't want to go, Mom.
Feel all right, Jade? I thought you'd love this.
I'm okay, but I feel terrible for those poor tiger cubs. Did you know that they're stolen from their mothers the day they're born?
What?
Yeah. How'd you feel if someone kidnapped me at birth?
Well...
And when the cubs do normal things like nip and paw, they're punished so they'll sit still for photos. And how would you feel if you were a baby and they pushed you into a deep pool to swim for your life?
I never thought about it that way.
And when they get too big to pet, they end up being imprisoned in tiny cages.
Where'd you learn all that?
From StopBigCatAbuse.com.
Studies show that children who learn compassion for animals show more compassion for humans. So teach your children well. Learn more at StopBigCatAbuse.com.
Thanks for joining us on the Pamela Folan Show on the Artist First Radio Network. We welcome your questions and comments. Hit us up at dj@artistfirst.com. Now back to your host, Pamela Folan.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for sticking with me through the commercial break. I'm happy you're here with me tonight, whether you're listening live or on the archives. We've been talking about how COVID-19 has affected the animal shelters and the animal adoptions across America. And now I wanted to talk about how you can help acclimate a new dog or cat into your home, because I know lots of the animal shelters have started opening up to doing adoptions again. So let's start off with how to help a cat acclimate, because the process is kind of different for cats and dogs. The easiest way to help a new cat acclimate to your home is to get them set up with their food dish, their water dish, and their litter box all in one room. Some people will use a bathroom if it's a kitten that they're not 100% sure the litter box tray, just because of the tile floor makes it easy to clean up accidents. If it's an older cat that you know is litter box trained, then often a office or a spare bedroom or something that doesn't have a lot of boards and breakable items that your new kitty can get into and hurt themselves with would work out well. I know I used it's now my office, which is why I started to say that, but back when I had the kittens that were babies and learning to run around and use the litter box, I had converted this room, my office, into a kitten room, essentially, because it has hard floor that was easy to clean up accidents. But you want to enclose the new cat in that room so that they can get used to the smells of your house and the other pets. If you have other pets, they can get used to the scents of the other pets and have just a very limited space, because cats are very easily stressed, and you don't want them to feel overwhelmed by having this huge house to roam through that is totally new and scary for them. Let them get comfortable in that one room and, of course, go in there and sit on the floor and talk to them and play with them and get them acclimated to and comfortable with you. Another tool that I found really useful that I use with my cat still anytime that someone new is coming over to the house is a product called Feel Away Pheromone Spray. And it has cat pheromones in it that makes the cats not get stressed and calm down. And like I said, I use it when I know somebody's coming over, and it helps the cats not be as nervous with a technician or a guest in the house. So that can really help acclimate a new cat. You can spray it around the room. It doesn't hurt carpeting or furniture, and it really doesn't have much of a smell after it dissipates in the room, and it will help your new kitty relax. It's kind of hard to gauge. After a couple days to a week, depending on how comfortable your cat is and how quickly it's acclimating, it can start changing it up and expanding the area that your cat is in the house. Sometimes cats will acclimate very quickly, and you'll see the difference in behavior. Instead of hiding at the back of the room away from you when you open the door, the new kitty's going to be at the door meowing and wanting attention and looking behind you like, what's beyond that door? If new cat is the only pet that you have, it's real easy. At that point, you can open the doors and let the cat explore the house and move the litter box to the location where you want it to ultimately be, and just put your cat in that litter box in the new location several times across the first day to make sure that your cat learns that that litter box has moved from the room that you were acclimating him in to its new location. And it's real easy. If you have other pets in the house already, then you kind of have to do an additional. The best thing to do is to put all your other pets in another room of your house and open up the door so that your new kitty can go exploring the house for an hour or two. Let him see everything that's in the house. Let him check out the other pets' beds and let him, you know, just get a feel for the house. Let him go up to the door where your other pets are and smell the door. And while he's exploring, go take the blankets and the beds that are in your new cat's room and switch them out with the beds and blankets that your other pets are laying on, so that everybody starts getting used to each other's scent. When you put the new kitty back in its room and let the other pets out, they will be able to smell the blankets and the bed that the new kitty's been laying on. And in a few days, when you release the new kitty into the house and let them bond with the new pets, everybody will know each other's scents, because cats and dogs work a lot more by scent than with anything else. And it's kind of easy to forget as humans, because we don't work with scent as much as cats and dogs. Cats and dogs have a much greater sense of smell than we do. I know lots of times people are nervous to release a new cat in the house when they have a dog. And sometimes it's better to put the dog on leash with you while you release the new kitty and let it explore. The only thing you have to be careful of is that you're not sending any sort of nervous energy that you might have down that leash to the dog and making the dog react negatively to the new cat, because it's feeding off of your energy. As long as you can hold the leash and let the dog see the new kitty explore and keep the line loose from your end, then that is a good way of allowing the cat to come out of the room and the pets to meet and interact for the first time. Another cats don't do very well on leash. I know when I adopted my first cat, Salem, I tried to leash train him, and he got pretty good about it sometimes, but it's not something that they enjoy. So another cat, you just kind of have to open the door and be there to watch them. The new cat's going to run back into the room where it's been staying for the past couple weeks if it gets scared, and I'm sure your cats already have a favorite spot that they go. like under the bed or behind the sofa, somewhere that they already run to when they get nervous or scared. Again, keep spreading the feel away around the house because it really does help the cats calm down, and you'll be able to watch the cats interact and the cat and dog interact. And just remember, the cat can jump up on the back of the sofa and lots of places to get away from a dog if the dog is overly curious. The good thing about a dog is you can give it more commands in a lot of ways, like leave it, which is, I think, what my dog Teddy thinks his middle name is, because I'm always saying, Teddy, leave it. But the new cat and dogs will figure out the way that they can interact, get along the house. And cats, the new cat and other existing cats in the house, yeah, they're probably going to hiss at each other at first. They might hiss and run away and hiss and run away, but they'll, with the feel away spray and with time, they'll absolutely learn to interact and enjoy each other and probably become best friends. I know when I first found the abandoned litter of kittens, my 1.5-year-old cat at the time, Salem, was hissing and spitting at these little helpless babies that I had in the box. And he would run away and come back, and he'd hiss and spit. And after a couple of days to a week, he was licking them, and he still does. They come up and they lower his head, and he licks them from head to toe like he's Papa Cat. So they adapt very, very quickly, and he and the 4 kittens, I still call them kittens, and they're 7.5 years old, but they are absolutely best friends, and it's really, really fun, and you'll be amazed how quickly a new cat will acclimate successfully to your home. So now let's talk about dogs, because like I said, it's kind of a different process that you have to do with a dog, and my way I acclimated Teddy into the house almost 5 years ago when I adopted him is I kept him on leash with me. Everywhere I went, Teddy was following me around the house to get used to the house, to get used to the other pets, and to get used to me. Dogs are very much pack animals so that they follow the leader of the pack. And by having to follow me all around the house, it established very quickly to Teddy that I was alpha dog. I was the pack leader. And it created a bond because wolves in the wild, they have the ultimate respect for that alpha wolf, that leader of the pack. And they don't want to do anything to upset them. They don't want to challenge them. They say, okay, I'll do it. Whatever, I'll follow. And that's why I really like doing the leash tethering and working with Teddy on leash when I first adopted him. And yeah, he's going to be 5 years old next month, and there's days that he still gets put on leash attachment to me just to remind him that he does have to listen to me. He does have to follow me, and I am the alpha dog. The other thing, because I know having a dog tethered to you on leash can get to be kind of a nuisance when you're trying to really do something around the house and not always able to have a dog's leash attached to you, is putting the dog in a playpen or a crate, some sort of confined area when you're not able to watch them. And of course, taking the dog outside to go potty more often than you normally would, especially if it's a young puppy, take him out like Teddy was 4 months old when I adopted him. I was taking him outside 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes we were outside at the same spot in the grass till I got him on a routine. An older dog, that you know is housebroken, you could probably take out every 30 minutes to every hour, depending on how confident you are in the dog's house training. But take them to that same spot in the grass because, again, dogs work by scent. They work by smell. So if they smell that they've gone potty in a particular spot in the grass before, they're much more likely to do it again. The other thing that I did with Teddy when I first him was I made sure to play with him and feed him in absolutely every room of the house. Every day I would choose a different area, and we rotated through the rooms of my house for several weeks because by nature and instinct, dogs do not want to go potty where they eat, where they sleep, where they live. That's why crate training is so effective for young puppies while you're not home and not watching them. They don't want to go potty and then have to lay in it. Well, it's the same kind of principle that we're using by letting them play and eat and interact with us in every room of the house. It's making every room just as important so that the dog doesn't think, oh, I never go into that guest bedroom. I'm just going to go potty in there instead of going and asking to go outside because maybe it's raining or cold or dog just decides that that's the new potty spot. But by making each room of the house important because you're playing in it, and you're feeding the dog in it, it makes the dog realize that going potty outside is the only spot that it wants to go potty in. And after a few weeks of doing either the crating when you're not watching him and putting him on leash when you are at home with him, you can start opening up the house to letting him be off leash. Maybe closing a door and letting him be in the bedroom with you off leash, or putting up a baby gate and giving him access to the kitchen and living room while you're in there. Slowly expanding the amount of freedom that he has, because of course, while the dog has on leash with you, you're going to be working with the dog and teaching it the commands of come and sit and leave it and all the key words that the dog needs to learn to be able to respond to you when it's not on leash tethered with you. And the other really important thing with a new dog is to set up the rules of the house so that every family member follows them, makes the dog follow the same rules. One person can't be allowing the dog to jump up and lick him in the face and the other person saying, no, don't jump up and don't lick me in the face, because the dog won't know who he's going to get rewarded from and who he won't. It really, really confuses the dog. And the other thing is to make sure everyone takes turns working with the dog, having the dog follow them on leash and telling the dog to crate up and releasing the dog from the crate and interacting with the dog, because dogs are pack animals. They will bond to absolutely everyone in the family. And, yeah, they'll have their favorites, just like we all do, and it's usually the one that feeds them the most, but that's okay. We want the dog to acclimate to everyone in the household and listen to everyone in the household. And if the dog is your only pet, that's kind of it. Once you start letting the dog off leash, you're going to be good to go, and the dog's going to be a great, wonderful new member of your family. If you have other pets in the house, the good thing about having the dog on leash with you is he or she is going to be seeing these other pets, going to be interacting with them while on leash and while you're closely supervising it. So by the time you do start letting the dog off leash and giving it a little bit more freedom in the house, it's already going to have established a relationship with the other dog or the other cat in the house to where you won't have to worry about having playing the dog off leash. They're going to know how to interact with the dog or with the cat that's in your house. And you can kind of just watch the relationship develop between your new pet and existing pet, because it's really, really cool to watch how these relationships develop. I know when I first adopted Teddy, all of my cats were kind of suspicious of him. He was a very active little puppy, still is a very active dog, but they would come up and sniff him, and when he went to move towards them and check them out, they'd hiss and run away from him. Well, now Teddy and my female cat, Misty, are absolutely best friends. My cat, Misty, will sit there and literally massage feed Teddy every day. She licks his ears, she needs his shoulders and back. It's just the sweetest relationship I've ever gotten to see between a cat and a dog. So the new pets in your household will absolutely adapt and become friends with your existing pets and be a great new family member. So thank you so much for listening to my show tonight. Again, the show is available on archives, and you can find out more information about me and my books on PamelaFolan.com. And I look forward to talking with you next month. Have a great night.